You're listening to The Broker Show with a Broker Joe, your expert in all things real estate. Hot topics, market trends, even your questions. It's all on the table. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch.
Welcome to The Broker Show. I am The Broker Joe, and I am happy to be with you all today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I'm here hanging out with Etch. Etch, we're on episode number 8.
Oh, we're already here. Man, this is crazy.
It's Christmas time in Big Rapids.
It is.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't seem like it because, you know, things are going so quick right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and I feel like this is the same way every year. And you would think being in a pandemic or anything like that.
Are you feeling the pressures of Christmas shopping? Is that what it is, Etch?
Yes, and always, because it's always that one thing that
you
like.
You waited till the last minute again this year, didn't you?
I did. Yes, I always do. But here's the thing. My fiance and I always end up buying each other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And we let each other open it well before Christmas.
You like, do? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Can I open my gifts before Christmas?
Absolutely. I'll call Karen, let her know.
Okay. Right.
That new Escalade, it's coming your way.
Yeah,
In my mind.
In my mind. You know what? It sounds cheesy, but for real, give the gift of time. The priceless gift of time. I'm looking forward to that. It feels like this year's been a lot about time.
It has.
Talked about time last episode, mm-hmm. how valuable it is, how important it is.
And it seems like we've had an abundance of it in the last 8-9 months.
We have.
Yet we still just take it all for granted.
Well, speak for yourself, Etch. No, you're right.
I know that you
you're
have,
exactly
I,
right.
I follow your social media.
Oh, is that right?
I can tell that 90% of all your time is spent, which is great, man. I can honestly say I'm envious of how you have found a way to really spend time with your family and make the most of it to the way that that you are. You can tell that you've really worked on
this. It's a work
this.
In progress.
And I think
it's
it is for everybody.
Progress,
and it's something that I look at myself and I'm like, man, Joe's got me all over this. But not just Joe. I mean, like, people who have been working on it. You can tell that on your end that it's something that you've really worked hard on.
Yeah, it is.
And I applaud you for that in a
Thank
great
you.
Way.
Yeah.
And it's something that going, and I hate New Year's resolutions.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Coming up, like, legit, I'm looking at the things that I really have to
It does
fix.
Work.
And, you know, we talk about credit score, that type of thing.
Yeah.
It's obviously on my list. But, like, time and last episode really got me thinking about gaining traction and working really hard on different things.
Yeah.
Not just in a financial sense, you know, but
it
Christmas
works for everything.
Time, Christmas time of year, we talk about running out and getting those last gifts.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this for our listeners. Do you really need to go out and get those gifts?
Yeah.
Are you using funds that you have? And this is a problem that I have. Like, I'll sit there and be like, meh, it was just like $20 on the credit card.
Yeah.
But that $20 adds up to 100, adds up to 200, adds up to 600. And then it was just all of a sudden like, well, my kid wanted a Nintendo Switch really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to be able to fix that. Sorry, my phone is going off here. But I'm not going to be able to.
Is your wife calling you?
No, it's my reminder to pick up my kid.
Okay, perfect.
So, right. Speaking of time, but legit. You find that last second thing, and all of a sudden it's on the shelves, and you can get your hands on it the 2 days before Christmas, and then you're charging that. Next thing you know, you're in this financial free fall of more debt, more stuff, and then your credit score updates in January, and the next thing you know, it fell 60 points, which puts you in a situation where you can't go out in the next 6 months and really necessarily get that loan for the house or something.
And let me help our listeners out. I heard a guy tell a story. He was talking about Christmas specifically.
Yep.
And he said that people feel like when most of the gifts that are bought, he said, are guilt gifts.
Yeah.
Calls it guilt giving.
Yep.
And so the gifts that we're giving our kids or our spouses or our friends or our family, it is almost to feel, you know, this pressure, right, to give, but also the guilt that makes us, that drives us to do it, to spend them more than we should, do more than we should, is because of the absence of a healthy relationship.
Ah.
It feels like we're trying to fill the void. We're trying to fill the gap with that over-the-top gift to make up for past wrongs. And you know what? This guy said every Christmas he gives gifts. They all have to do with time. I'm going to give you a certificate to turn in, okay? And within the next 30 days, we're going to go skiing, me and you. Just me and you. I'm going to give this to you, and within the next 2 weeks, you can. This is good for 5 times unloading the dishwasher. Something that he wouldn't normally do, maybe, right? But it's to get some momentum.
Yeah.
Towards building relationships with those people that you do care about, but give them the thing that matters the most.
Yeah.
Right. So just to take it easy on the pocketbooks a little bit, this hopefully I gave you an excuse.
So, yeah. My fiance is going to be like, so where's my coupon for rubbing my feet?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm still not touching your feet, babe. Not touching your feet. I know they're cute. You tell me they're cute, but nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
Here's your certificate for a pedicure over at Cat Nails. Okay. Yeah. All right. We're good.
Yeah.
But really, this is something that I, like I said, I really need to focus more of my time on, more looking at that. And I think this is going to be a really eye-opening episode. So let's jump right in, talk about the planning fallacy.
Yep, planning fallacy. I mentioned in the last episode. So the planning fallacy is that we have these to-do lists, right? And I said it last time, you might have 50 things to do or 100 things to do, and we tend to hit the ones that fall into our lap, the low-hanging fruit, the easy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're getting it done. We're trying to get through it, get a sense of accomplishment. And there's a couple problems with that. Number one, we're not building white space, right? So the white space is a principle. I've been working on building white space into my life going back probably 6-7 years ever since I heard I believe the CFO of Nike was talking at a conference I was at about white space, and I was like, oh my gosh, boom, I need this in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that space to hit the reset button, let the important things we have, and I said this again, this is something I repeat a lot, is we have urgent things in our life and we have important things in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And the important things have to be the priorities, right? The important things, the things that are going to drive us towards being the hero of ourselves that we see in 5 or 10 years, right? Drive us towards being that person or accomplishing those goals. The urgent things are the things that rob us. They rob us of that time, those precious, the things that need to be checked off the list that we don't check off. They keep getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. But we say we're busy because we're busy filling in all the urgent things, the things that are screaming in our ears and blowing up our phones, when we're not shutting it all off and pushing it all away and making sure we're prioritizing the important things in our life. And essentially, when it comes down to your goal, specifically we're talking about real estate here and setting ourselves up for investments in the future, for purchasing a home, for getting ourselves out of debt, clearing the air, it takes time. The reason that it's such a burden on our nation and worldwide, I'm sure, for people that are in debt and struggling to move forward is because we are so distracted. We do get tied up. And we say, no, I have a plan. I have it in the calendar, but our calendar keeps beating us, right?
Yep.
And so the white space is what helps us to reestablish and reset our focus and our goal. If I took a gun to the range and there was a target on the wall and someone put a blindfold on me and said, hit the target 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
If I spray that gun around long enough, I'll hit the target 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
But 100 times I won't. There'll be 100 times that I made an effort, that I expended energy that never hit my goal. So focused energy is so, so important to get white space away that is not being filled by the phone, filled with whatever else is going on, to go, no, this is my priority. This is where I'm going to focus my time. I'm not going to let these distractions take me away from the traction that we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so something I want to talk about, then we'll get into some of the 1-2-3s. Let's talk about input.
Mm-hmm.
I love analogies. I'm a huge analogy guy.
Right.
I tell them, I say them all the time.
Yep.
So let's try an analogy on our audience here. Let's say that you go to Pizza Hut and you order a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You order a pizza and you order the one that you've been eating for 10 years. It's your favorite. It's got all the ingredients, all the things that you want. This is your favorite pizza. You order it, and someone in the back of that building gets your order.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to put this pizza together. So what is that person thinking about? What is the first thing that person in the back is going to think about? They got this order. They know what you want. They're going to think about all the little things they have to put together in the right order and sequence to make the product that you asked for.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at it this way. We have output.
Mm-hmm.
And we have input.
Mm-hmm.
The output is, I want to buy a house.
Yep.
The output is, I want this pizza. But what does it take for that product to come out, to be exactly what you want it to be? It takes a lot of ingredients, and it takes them in the right order. They have to be available. They have to be in the right space, in the right place. They have to be put in right. I don't know how to cook, but I can tell you, I've watched enough Hell's Kitchen to know, my goodness, it's fucking raw, right? Right? I mean, it was like 5 seconds different, right? It's got to be perfect. Yep. All these ingredients have to come to the right place together at the right time, right? So that the input doesn't get enough credit. Mm-hmm. Here's why. It's not attractive. The flour, the dough, the onions, the peppers, all these things all by themselves, they don't look anything like the product. They don't look anything like the end result, right?
And that's something that's actually really funny, because whenever I'm cooking, and I'll pull out chicken or I'll pull out venison or something along those lines, and our seven-year-old, she'll come up and she'll look at it and go, ew, what's that?
Yeah.
Like in this face, just I'm not eating that.
So it's like my kids' minds being blown when I shot a deer, and they're like, "Why?"
Yeah,
like well, this is burger.
Yeah,
there's no, it doesn't compute, right? So it's the same thing. We focus on the output, what we want, that beautiful shiny product at the end, but we don't pay attention to the little details. That's the input. So I'm telling you out there, if you input the right little ingredients, you go out there and you go and you fight and you grab this ingredient and you go grab this ingredient and you make sure you have everything that it takes, all these pieces coming together in unison to create the product or give the output that you want. Mm-hmm. The final result takes all these different ingredients.
So when it relates to real estate, we talked the output as far as getting a house.
Yes,
okay,
correct.
That's the end game. Mm-hmm. What are the ingredients that you're talking about?
Yeah. So I think going back to last episode, we had to talk about time. Yep. So number one ingredient is time. Making sure you set aside the time, you don't get distracted, you get traction moving towards your goal. So let's just hit number, let's call it number one. So let's talk about the debt. Mm-hmm. The cards, the collections, the student loans, all the debt. It weighs really heavy. You've got to work, it's a constraint you have to work through. And you've all heard this before. Everyone is so familiar with Dave and Dave Ramsey.
Yep.
Kind of some of his theories, which so much of it is so good and true. And so, but having the right mindset, you go in and you approach these constraints with a different mentality. You see it differently. You pluck one out, right? And you say, I am going to take this. This is a key ingredient to moving forward. I'm going to take this ingredient and I'm going to tackle this debt. And maybe it does mean cutting out the Starbucks coffee and making coffee at home. Right. So here's where we struggle. We cut things out of life out of necessity, right? We say, I don't need that big truck. Well, I can't afford that big truck.
Yep.
Right. So now I just say, well, I don't need it, right? Because I don't need it. I've made do with this truck, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but the things I'm talking about, look at the things in your life that you already make space for, that you already spend, you already buy. That's what you got to look at. If someone's coming to me and they're slogging through this mindset, looking at everything they spend on in life, I'm not talking about the stuff that, I didn't buy this. Well, did you not buy it because you can't buy it? Or you really shouldn't buy it? Or just because, did you really make a choice? Like, I could easily afford this, but I'm making a decision that I'm not going to, because I'm going to sacrifice for the betterment of my future.
Yeah.
And so if anyone's ever watched Shark Tank, and I love the show, there's a lot to learn on there. Mm-hmm. These brilliant people are in there. And something I've seen over and over again are you have these CEOs, these entrepreneurs, these up-and-coming brilliant people with great ideas. Most of them are great ideas. Some of them are pretty crazy. But And you see they have these structures and these plans. One of the things you see reoccurring over and over again are these sharks saying, you're paying yourself what? Mm-hmm. You're giving yourself what? You need to be eating ramen.
Yep.
You're an entrepreneur. You need to be, you should be, lighting your house with oil lamps. You should be doing everything you can. They don't say that, right? But you should be doing everything you can to be skinny. You are growing something that needs to blossom. You need to be thin and efficient as possible to achieve your goal. So the reason that entrepreneurs fail, 98% of them, is because they don't have the discipline to do that. Mm-hmm. They don't have the discipline to take the things out that they're so accustomed to, all the comforts and the necessities, right? They call them necessities, but there are other things in life that we can take pleasure in. We're right. talking about Christmas giving. Imagine the pleasure you could take in spending that time or doing that thing for that friend or that person that will mean way, way more for to them than it would spending that $500 or that $100 on that gift that, you know what, you created it as a need. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got to do this. I've got to buy the gift. Well, you really don't. Maybe there's a lot of things in your life that you're doing that you really don't need, you don't have to have, that you can give up and create space to begin tackling that debt and that credit, right? So let's talk about debt specifically. Mm-hmm. When it comes to debt, I really do adhere to myself personally and coming out of a lot of debt in the past. There was a time I had like 30 cards or different collections all at one time. It was roughly 30. I really didn't want to count it. But, right. You know, done the card chopping ceremonies and all that, yeah. all that fun stuff, right? Yep. From one point to another.
Debt-free, yeah.
Yeah, woo! Sure. Yeah, yeah. The whole thing. But it is tough to get to that point where you're paying it off and then you're building your credit, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to come clean. You tackle the smallest one first. Mm-hmm. You take the money that you designate toward that smaller one. You pick two, right? You're paying off two. You take the money from the first one you pay off. You add it to the next. You add it to the next. You keep snowballing it forward. So you're paying off, clearing up the space, right? Mm-hmm. But let's talk about building credit. This is probably one of the most common questions that I get asked, so I'm excited to address it. I had a 720 credit score when I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I did was because I chose to go the route of a secured loan. So I'll explain, for those of you who don't know what a secured loan is, I save up $1,000. I go to a bank that services secure loans, most local banks do, and I say, listen, I would like to get a secured loan. Here's what happens. They take your $1,000, okay? They use it as collateral. This is the house, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to loan you $1,000 based on the fact that we have collateral of $1,000. So they take your $1,000, they put it and they hold it, right? They secure it. Mm-hmm. They lien you $1,000 back. So you walk in with $1,000, you walk out with $1,000.
Yeah.
So what I did was I took the $1,000 I walked out in, I started an account at that bank, and I set up automatic payments to pay off that $1,000 over a period of 6 to 12 months. If you go longer, you go 12 months, it will actually build your credit better. You'll have a longer credit history, right? Mm-hmm. It will start to be that blip on the radar. But it's a way for them to collect collateral from you if you're a high-risk individual with some spotted credit history like I did, right? This is after 18, made some bad decisions, had to come out of it. We'll tell some of those stories later. But for now, that's how I got my credit to that point to be able to purchase my first house when I was 18 years old. And so they take that $1,000. It paid off, automatically paid off that $1,000 I had in there. When I was done, I had, guess what? $2,000, mm-hmm. right? And I had a great credit score. Mm-hmm. It jump-started my credit. Now, you're not going to be able to go out and buy a house with that jumpstart, but then you can start building upon that score that you've created. And if you already have a score and it's a mess and you don't know how to get it up to where it needs to be, and you don't think you have the discipline to get a credit card or get a car loan and make that decision, I love to see people buy that $1,000 car with cash if you can help it, right? Buy that $2,000 car with cash. Then go get that secured loan. It's the best way to kind of recover, to start to build momentum towards that recovery. Then get that low interest credit card. And when you have the cash, you use it and you pay it off immediately. Use it, pay off immediately. I have two large cards, one for my company and one for my family. And every spend that we make, there is an immediate corresponding payoff of that amount. And then there's a balance I keep in there because they like to see
right.
if your card is paid off completely, it doesn't help your credit. You got to have a small balance on there. They recommend under 25%, somewhere between 5 and 25% balance mm-hmm. in there helps keep it looking healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So you keep doing that, build your credit. Mm-hmm. And then number three, I would say start small. So the bank is going to come to you and they're going to, many loan officers will say, what do you want to afford? What is going to make you comfortable and happy? But most banks will do all the ratios, right? They'll take the picture, they'll take your income, they'll take your debt, they'll look at your income ratio, income to debt ratio, and they'll say, this is what you're approved for. Not this is what you should spend, this is what you're approved for, meaning this is the maximum amount. There are so many people that they live. They have lived by maximizing their means over and over and over. They've gotten comfortable in the day-to-day, paycheck to paycheck living. That when that mortgage broker says you can afford $100,000, they're like, oh, I'm going to go buy a $100,000 house.
Right.
You need to, whoa, slow your roll, look at the big picture. Are you going to have margin in your life? You need to have margin, mm-hmm. not just to protect yourself and build a savings account, but also for the unexpected. Also, I recommend if you're a first-time home buyer, don't buy that perfect home. That's not going to be your dream home. Buy a home that you're going to put some sweat equity into. Mm-hmm. Maybe don't buy something falling down. Make sure you get it inspected and it's in good overall condition. But maybe it's drab. Maybe the kitchen's from the 70s. Maybe mm-hmm. it's shag carpet, right? Maybe it's wallpaper.
Maybe it's Etch's house.
maybe it's plaster, right? That is okay, right? Don't let the shiny HDTV presentation of what a house looks like or could look like start your standards off so high that you can't make it a viable plan. So start slow, start small, and you'd be shocked and amazed at how quickly that investment can snowball up. Because again, it's a beautiful thing. Three things are happening in this scenario. Mm-hmm. You're paying off a mortgage, which means you're building equity by paying it off every month instead of paying someone else's dream, like you said last yep. year in rent or last week. You are also going up and appreciating in value along with the market, mm-hmm. right? Natural market appreciation is happening.
Yep.
And then you are building the equity in the home additionally by the improvements that you're making. You're finding the best deal, right? Mm-hmm. At this store, you're finding the great deal at a yard sale on those pallets. You're finding a great deal on whatever it may be. You're slowly but surely building additional equity in the home with your own experience, right?
Yep.
It's so much fun. If you have the right mindset going in, we've talked about this, it can be so much fun. It can be so rewarding to fix these houses up and to build something, right, that's going to come out. And I have been so blessed to see people that are disciplined, people that take the right approach, start so small, and now, 15 years later, 10 years later, I'm selling their third house,
right,
their fourth house. And it's way bigger. It's way better than the first one they started on. But they followed the plan. They were disciplined. They continue to keep traction in their life, moving towards their goals. Love to see it, Etch. Yeah. Love to see it.
That's the exciting part, and that's where we're kind of in that thing right now, where we took the house that it's like, this is move-in ready, but not to our specifications. But now, like you were talking, sweat equity, we put a lot in. Oh God, a lot into it. I mean, weekends, and we've gotten a little bit more relaxed in the last couple of months of being like, okay, but we also know that there's still more that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, when is the best time to tackle that specific project? You know, we got to put paint on the entire inside of the house.
Yeah.
We have to fill some cracks that, mm-hmm. you know, since it is Michigan and we are on a lot mm-hmm. of clay here in mm-hmm. Big Rapids.
Yes.
So with that comes the mm-hmm. movement of houses, and those old houses that are all over Big Rapids and in the Mecosta, Osceola area, they got some old bones in them, and those old bones crack every now and then.
And then something you got to account
for. Yeah. And you got to put a little splint on them. So we got to do that. And
there is a house for everyone.
It's exciting, though.
I have found there's a buyer for every house. Mm-hmm. I found some that I was like, oh, Lord help me. But
right?
Either he did, or there's I mean, combination of both, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Merry Christmas, Etch.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you.
Best to your family. Merry Christmas to our listeners. Thanks again for listening in. And if you like our show, mm-hmm. or if you don't like our show and you just want to throw some mud, throw some mud at us. Let us hear about your experience. Absolutely. You can follow me at The Broker Joe on Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter at The Broker Joe, or you can like and follow us on Facebook at The Broker Joe. And we'd love to see you there. We'd love some comments. We'd love to hear from you. Drop me a comment, and I will maybe even reference you in the next episode we do.
It's going to be exciting. And after the first of the year, at some point, we're going to start going live. So I know we've talked about it, but we're just trying to get a roll on things and making it so that
getting
we're
another studio set up. A lot going on.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. We are excited to be able to bring that to you when the time comes. Rome wasn't built in a day, so we thank you for starting this journey with us. We really appreciate it. And everybody listen, have a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a wonderful New Year's. And we'll talk to you after. New Year's.
Absolutely. I'm The Broker Joe.
I'm Etch.
And we're out.